Scripture reading this morning will be Proverbs 1, 1 through 7, and then also Proverbs 16, 32 through 17, 3. So if you're willing and able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And then Proverbs 16, starting in verse 32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Better is a dry morsel and quietness with it than a house full of feasting with strife. A servant who acts wisely will rule over a son who acts shamefully and will share in the inheritance among brothers. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests hearts. You may be seated. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, we thank you so much for your mercy towards us. Lord, we thank you for giving us your word. We thank you for teaching us. Lord, if we were gathered here this morning in this building together without you, Lord, what would we profit? Lord, we need you. And so we thank you that you are here, that you are teaching us through your Spirit, through your word. Lord, we ask that you would teach us now as we look at these verses in Proverbs. Lord, we ask that you would give us wisdom. Lord, that you would help us to understand, that we might think rightly, that we might act and live rightly before you. We thank you for blessing us. We ask now that you would bless, and I ask your protection on these people, that you would protect them from my error. We just thank you, Lord, for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning we're returning to the book of Proverbs. We're going to finish up chapter 16 and begin in 17. And, you know, after going through here almost 16 chapters of Proverbs, I don't know if you've noticed this, but I certainly notice it all the time, is we're getting to the point that a lot of this, the majority, it is repetitious. So many of the lessons that will be taught here in these five verses that we'll look at this morning have previously been taught in Proverbs already. But we're not going to skip over them. We're not going to move on to a different book of the Bible. Because, you see, although we may have heard much of this already, we haven't heard it today. And, you see, we're so quick to forget, and we so easily go astray. You know, even those of us who are adults here this morning, we need to be taught, and we need to be retaught. You know, we in so many areas, looking at Scripture, considering we're really like children. We're really still like children. You know, we are in need of God to take us by the hand and to guide us and to teach us. And oftentimes to teach us the same lesson over and over again. And you remember in the call to worship, Psalm 73 that Jake read, Psalm of Asaph, and we saw there where a man who really, he knew better, we saw him struggle with thinking rightly. He struggled with being envious of the wicked. He struggled with regretting his own faithfulness. And yet, God is faithful, and God reminds us of the truth. And we saw there, I'm just going to read a few more of those verses, starting in verse 21 of Psalm 73. It says, "When my heart was embittered and I was pierced within, then I was senseless and ignorant. I was like a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast taken hold of my right hand. With thy counsel thou wilt guide me, and afterwards receive me to glory." You see, we too need God to guide us, to take us by the hand. And so we need his word. We need him. We need to be taught. This morning, some of the things that we will be taught from Proverbs are that we need to have self-control. We need to have self-control. We need to understand that God is in control, that we're not. And we need to be reminded of the importance of relationships and the blessing of good relationships. Also, we'll see that we need to act wisely. And we need to receive the blessings of sanctification. So again, there's nothing new here this morning. So many of these we have already considered, we've already been taught. And yet all of it is very important. So let's begin with verse 22. Excuse me, verse 32. "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city." Here we see the importance of self-control. And it's given to us in the context of comparing self-control to a victory in battle. And the point is made clear. Self-control is a better victory. So let's first consider the example that we're given here in this verse. It speaks of a mighty man who captures a city. You see, this is speaking of the victory that a mighty man has over his enemy. You see, the mighty man is strong. He overpowers his enemy. He dominates. Now, it doesn't mean that this is easy. It's a struggle. It's a battle. It's war. He has to fight long and hard. But we see that the mighty man is victorious. He captures the city. But this is just the example. This is only the example that is used here to teach us, to remind us of a greater battle. And this is not a battle of a mighty man against his enemy, but this is the battle of a wise man against himself. The wise man who has victory over himself has the greater victory. So let's consider the wise man here. First, we see here that it says he is slow to anger. He's not easily upset. Not easily provoked to anger. He's not quick-tempered, but he's slow to anger. He takes time to consider each situation before he speaks, before he acts. Because he knows that everything isn't as it first appeared. And he also knows that his first response, his first reaction oftentimes is regrettable. And so he takes it slow. He rules his own spirit. He controls his desires and emotions. Specifically, he keeps his anger in check. Instead of letting his spirit rule him, instead of raging out of control, the wise man rules his spirit. He is slow to anger. Now, looking back at the mighty man capturing the city, understand that this is no small victory. A mighty man has to fight long and hard to capture a city. And so here we see the same is true in self-control. It is a greater victory to conquer the enemy within, to rule our own sinful impulses, to control yourself. This is the greater victory. It is more beneficial to conquer the enemies within than the enemies among you. This is such an important lesson. We need to be self-controlled. We need to seek to rule our spirit well. We shouldn't live in the lusts of our flesh. We shouldn't live by our impulses. But we need to understand that apart from Christ, this is impossible. You see, Christ has set us free from our bondage to sin. He has made this possible so that we can say no to our flesh, so that we can hold our tongue when we are angry and feel words on our lips that we shouldn't speak. Praise God. Praise God. It is all because of Christ. So he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. Verse 33, embrace God's sovereignty. 33 says, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Here we are taught that God is sovereign over all things. There are two points here in this verse, the greater and the lesser. The lesser is first. Point one is that man is not in control. The verse begins, the lot is cast into the lap. Now, casting lots is not something that we do a lot, or you may hear a lot of today. Certainly there are a few places in Scripture that we see and can read about casting lots. But more or less it would be similar to rolling dice, to flipping a coin. Okay? Now, turn with me if you would to the book of Jonah. And we'll just look just a little bit there to help us understand the purpose of casting lots. Now, this is a familiar story. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, and Jonah does not obey. Instead, he gets on a ship headed to Tarshish. And so he disobeys, and God sends this terrible storm. And the storm is wreaking havoc on the ship. And so everyone is afraid of dying, and they're calling upon their gods. And let me just read verse 7 of chapter 1 in Jonah. And each man said to his mate, come, let us cast lots, so we may learn on whose account this calamity has struck us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So we see here that the sailors cast lots. You see, they wanted to know who was to blame for this terrible storm. They recognized that they were not in control, and they recognized that God was. And so they cast lots, wanting to know, really, whose fault is this? Who provoked God to bring about this storm upon us? And so they're looking for answers. And so they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And so we see that when men cast lots, they're looking for an answer. They're casting lots because they want the answers. They want to know. They want the answers that they don't have. They know that they're not in control, but they want the answers from the one who is. And so point one is that man is not in control. You see, if man were in control, there'd be no point. There'd be no casting lots. Point two is obvious. It is that God is in control. Men cast lots because they're not in control, because they don't know. But it's every decision is from the Lord. God is sovereign over everything. Every rolled dice, every flipped coin, God is sovereign. He knows all things and is in control of all things. You see, God caused the lot to fall on Jonah. God is in control. And it isn't always enjoyable. And oftentimes it is painful. Yet it is through this process that God cleanses our hearts. He is purifying His people through it. You see, God knows our hearts better than we do. He knows all of our secret sins. And so He will try us. He will test us. He will refine our hearts, so that we might not be as second-rate gold, grade B silver, but that we would be as grade A, pure gold, choice silver, without blemish or stain. But again, this is speaking of our heart, that we would have a pure heart. Now, trials and tribulations are never enjoyable at the moment. But we need to understand that just like the refining pot and the furnace is not used to destroy the gold, but rather to make it better, so God is not sending us these trials to destroy us. But He sends us trials because He loves us. And He is using them for our good, to make us better, to purify our hearts. You see, it's for our good and for His glory. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 12. Seven through 11 says this: "It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but He disciplines us for our good, that we may share His holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness." So although it may not be enjoyable for the moment, it yields good fruit. God sanctifying your heart is a blessing that he does because you're his children. And he loves you. But let's also not neglect to notice here that this work of sanctification is God's work. He is the one who tests the heart. He is purifying his people. He is doing it. He gets all the credit for our purity. He is accomplishing it. You see, apart from Christ, our hearts will never be pure. Titus 2:11-14 says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds." You see, apart from Christ, we would never be pure. He is purifying us for our good and for his glory. James 1:2-4, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Sanctification is a good gift from a loving Father. May we learn to receive it well. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests hearts. So in conclusion, may we think correctly about life. May we not be deceived. May we cling to the Lord all the more and search his scriptures. Read his word. Feed on his word. He is faithful, and he will lead us on the good path. Let's pray. O Lord, we thank you so much for all of these reminders. Lord, we are sinful people, and we desperately need you. Lord, we pray that you would help us to continually remember that apart from you, we can do nothing. And that we would continue to seek you. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for being in control. We thank you for our families, for all the good relationships that we have. And Lord, we just pray that you would be continuing to work in us what is pleasing to you, that we might honor you, that we might feed on your word, that we might think rightly and live rightly before you. May your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.